Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 50 of the China Business Cast. It's great to have everybody here. How are you doing, Shlomo?
I'm good. Number 50, quite a number.
It's a good number. And we also are just kind of getting all the U.S. election data back and getting lots of feedback around the world. I'm here in China as an American. You're over in Israel. How's it going with Israel?
Well, Israelis think that they are the 51st state of the United States of America. So we are following really close on that.
Okay. Happy, not happy?
I'm okay with that. For sure, it's now going to be much more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the right place. we don't get too political here on China Business Cast. We just talk business, and you know, politics is a whole another thing. But
business?
Yeah, I guess it does connect business, but I guess it's very emotional too. Maybe we'll get a guest on to talk about politics sometime. How about Casual Connect? How was that? You had recently gone?
Right. I mentioned in the last episode, I was getting ready for a talk I gave at Casual Connect. This is a mobile gaming conference, and they're doing it different places around the world. And last week was in Tel Aviv. And that was a really good talk. I was speaking about conquering the Chinese market, the app market. That's my topic. That's what we do at App in China. So it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I was very nervous before that, but eventually it was much, much easier than I thought. So that's good news.
Very cool. Congratulations, man. That's great.
I got this morning the recording, so we'll put it in the show notes.
Cool.
If you want to watch.
Yeah, I'll listen and watch, and other guys should tune in too on the show notes. Speaking of events, I have next week on the 18th of November a Hong Kong business trip for selling into mainland China from a Hong Kong or international company. So it's going to be a full day event on Friday. And you can check out people interested at globalfromasia.com/HKTrip. It's going to be a fun one. Just a small group of us talking at Jingdong and some other places. So I'm pretty excited. And also, you and I have had some calls and talks about enterchina.co, which is a membership site for people doing product development with Chinese factories. So I joined as a partner there, and it's been going well. And you've been helping introduce some really great people, and we're doing some masterminds. And how about you? How's your mastermind going?
So yeah, you started Enter China doing the mastermind about, let's say, I think 3 or 4 months ago, and it's been going really, really well. Interesting people in my group. Great feedback. I've already been once at the hot seat, and I'm probably going to be there the next, I think in about 2 weeks. So yeah, the feedback was great. And as a result of that, I also decided to open a Startup Noodle mastermind group, which is under startupnoodle.com. And the reason is that I get a lot of inquiries of people wanting to hook into the China business and tech. So we're not competing with Enter China. Enter China is for people doing product stuff and doing sourcing and things like that, which I don't do. But the rest of the stuff related to business, tech, online, these are the things I do, and people get in touch with me. And I'm opening a mastermind group for these people. It's not online yet, so stay tuned. We're going to add it in the show notes when we have it. And I'm also going to announce the launch date when it's there. It's going to be in a few weeks.
Very cool. Very cool. And if anybody wants to get involved with the Enter China one, if you're doing product development, can check it out at chinabusinesscast.com/enterchina, and you can learn more.
Cool. So who we have today?
So yeah, this one is the first interview of a few that I did while I went to the chat conference in Shanghai a little while ago. So this is with Philip Beck. So he has a 38 years of C-level experience with SMEs in digital media, e-commerce, and all throughout China and Asia Pacific. And he he's a really great guest to have, and he shares his story about China and also about engagement on Chinese social media, specifically in WeChat. So it's a fun topic, and we did it live at the show, so it was fun.
Yeah, I met Philip a few times. He's a great guy, and totally recommend listening to this one, obviously.
Great. So let's tune in.
Tune in.
Live from Shanghai.
Yep, at the Chat Summit.
Chat Summit, and yeah. It's great to meet you, Philip Beck.
Likewise.
Yes. So you have quite the background, and just a quick introduction. You have 38-year career at C-level positions in SMEs and publicly listed companies across advertising, digital media, e-commerce, marketing, recruitment, and traditional media in China as well as across the Asia Pacific and UK and Ireland. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So I think I always like to ask, it could be a long story, but the kind of brief China story. How did you end up here in Shanghai?
My father actually brought me to China when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
To Shenzhen. So it was a crazy place at the time. And even as an eight-year-old, China made a huge impression on me. And then it wasn't until I was in my sort of mid-30s that I came here on business. And that was back in 1995 to Beijing. So, you know, I remember Jingguomen just being two lanes rather than the large road it is today.
Got it.
And just effectively the second ring road. And then from 2000, started coming to China every 2 weeks. I was setting up some joint ventures and I just fell in love with the place. So I sort of made it known to my entire network that I was hoping to come and live and work in China one day. And in 2005, that dream came true when I'd been out of the advertising industry for a couple of years. I'd been running a recruitment business, and the Publicis Group, a French listed advertising agency group, you know, asked me if I'd come to China and run their China media operations, because almost the majority of my career had been spent in media planning and buying. So recommending to clients, you know, how to reach their customers more effectively, like what were the most effective touch points. So,
great.
Yeah, so moved here in 2005 and haven't left apart from a one-year stint when I made the mistake of going back to Australia. And after about 3 months realised, my heart's still in China. So, yeah, so 11 years now and hoping to be here at least another 10. I might be fluent by then.
Great, yeah. I'm trying to follow in your footsteps. 9 years for me here. Okay. So Shenzhen in the south where you first came. So it's really, really great. So yeah, you're going to be sharing here at the conference. And like you were just mentioning, like engagement. Yeah. So it seems like for engagement, WeChat is one of the most powerful tools you've probably come across. So, you know, maybe first, what is in customer engagement is on a broader sense?
If I sort of fast forward to 2020 for a minute, there's a lot of companies, you know, like McKinsey, Harvard, research companies like Forrester that are saying that by 2020, 47%, so almost half of a brand's revenue is going to come from small screens like mobile and no screens. So that's the whole Internet of Things.
Yep.
And, you know, up until like 3 years ago, most brands had no real digital strategy and no thought of how can they engage with their customer. And with things like WeChat in China, you know, the world's suddenly woken up and gone, pardon my language, but shit.
Yeah.
I don't know my customers. And if by 2020, half my revenue is going to be coming from mobile and sort of the Internet of Things, I better do something about how I engage with customers. So, you know, they're busy now working out what are the most effective touch points to reach my customer. And WeChat is a fantastic tool at doing that. You know, there's nothing like it in the rest of the world.
Definitely. Yeah, and throughout today, just on the first day, but there's already been talks about, yeah, like China and this chat has really surpassed like Messenger, WhatsApp and the rest in innovation, which I would have to agree with too.
Yeah. I mean, it's like more than 20 apps all rolled into one, and you don't need to leave the WeChat ecosystem to pretty much do everything in your life.
It's it's great, but also a little scary at the same time because of the data.
Yeah. Well, and that's the holy grail for a brand. You know, a few years back, I entered the mobile gaming industry for the first time and very quickly discovered that they're masters at understanding who their customers are. And one thing I learned from that is that in the free-to-play mobile game space, only 2% of your customers are actually paying you any money. 98% are freeloaders. And within that 2%, you've got whales that represent most of your income, then dolphins that represent like the next 40%, and then you've got all these minnows, like most of your customers that don't really give you very much at all. And that was something I learned like 25 years ago. McDonald's has whales, and they're males between the ages 16 and 22 that eat a ton of food. That's their sort of key audience. But clients like McDonald's and lots of other clients have never thought of how can I engage with those people more effectively.
Great. Yeah, so I think a lot of times with engagement, I think of CRM. That's like a buzzword we always hear. You know, is that like what you would say is the way to track engagement? I mean, I'm not sure if I'm even making sense of my question, but I'm just kind of thinking, is that how you can measure engagement or understand?
Engagement is a lot of things. So I'll sort of give you a really practical example. If I call China Unicom here, unlike many other countries in the rest of the world, I don't have to go through 50 different options when I call the help number. I just, you know, after I call, I get a live person, and that live person knows who I am. You know, they go, hi, Philip. And they know my history because of their social CRM system. They know who I am, where I live. So when I say I got a problem, I don't need to say, you know, I don't need to tell them where I am. So through effective CRM, they know me better.
Mm.
And if a brand does that to you, Michael, and just makes it much easier for you to buy from them or to use them or to recommend them or to share good things about the brand with other people, that just makes it much easier for you to engage with the brand. And that's what, you know, brands are.
So if I'm a whale of McDonald's, I guess what engagement, maybe you could see that I'm past maybe even my location in WeChat, and there's a McDonald's down the street, I can get a Big Mac.
Yep, I've ordered online.
Yeah.
So they know what I've ordered, and they know that you order the same thing every week, so they could put out an offer to you. Or if it's sort of a premium brand or a luxury brand, and you know, I'll give an example, whiskey, premium single malt whiskies. So that most of the whiskey brands don't understand who their purchasers are and don't understand they might have a whale who buys absolutely nothing from them in China. But every time they go overseas, they're buying from duty free.
Mm.
But they don't know that. But through social engagement, they can. And then they start to understand, wow, actually, Michael is actually one of our whales, and we've not been in contact with him. But now we know what his purchasing habits are. We know what he likes. We know where he travels. So next time he goes overseas, lands in Paris, we could offer up a QR code or a coupon through WeChat. If he activates it, then we better understand, you know, what he likes and what he doesn't like.
Very cool. So I know you work mainly with larger companies. And I always wondered, like, these brands, of course, is this possible for SMEs, or is this more like a larger scale kind of campaign to actually measure our engagement or have these campaigns?
I think SMEs actually have the best opportunity.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, because most of the large brands are like the Titanic, so slow moving and to change. And there's going to be SMEs that will come and bite them on the bum and take market share from them. And that's where I think, you know, SMEs in particular have got a significant advantage because they don't have to pay a lot of money to set up their own WeChat page. And there's a lot of examples of SMEs setting up on WeChat. Just like years ago, they established themselves on Taobao, and there's some massive Tao brands. You know, they don't exist in the rest of the world, but they exist on Taobao. And the same thing is starting to happen with WeChat. So the biggest issue I find with major brands is they are just too slow.
Mm.
And in China, compared to the rest of the world, what happens in China in the space of 1 year is equal to 7 years in any other market. So you have to move quickly. And if you don't move quickly, you'll just get smashed.
It's totally, yeah. It's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, sometimes I think for you, I'll speak for myself, but as a Westerner here, sometimes I sell services to, you know, of course, foreign companies, but they don't keep track. And I'm like educating and they're slow or they don't know. And then the worst is we get sometimes stuck in the middle as a bridge is, right? So, yeah, it's hard to keep up with the changes and to adopt.
Yeah, because you spend maybe half your time educating them on the market.
Exactly.
And then another 25% while they catch up.
Exactly.
And already their competition's way ahead of them. And they go, what?
I think that's probably one of the main issues with Western. Sometimes companies, they're not free enough inside China to move fast.
Yeah, or they don't empower the people here to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And those companies that have this sort of central command and control are going to lose it. But the companies that trust their people or give them a framework within which they can operate and allow them to move quickly, to be agile, nimble, you know, they're the ones that are going to win.
Yep, totally agree. So how can people measure success? You know, how do they know they're doing? Of course, maybe there's sales or is there other kind of metrics that people can look at?
Yes, I mean, the most simplest one is they have a WeChat store and then they sell to their customer base. A great example of that is Coach.
Okay.
Coach has more than 1 million followers on WeChat.
Wow.
And you can buy Coach product directly from their official WeChat account. And it's a really simple thing to set up. And obviously, they can market to those followers every week. They can start to understand what they like, what they don't like. So then they can make their subsequent messaging much more relevant. So it's, you know, not spamming the follower. The follower is actually getting something that appeals to them because the CRM system in the background is tracking what they like, what they share. And they might also find that, you know, amongst those followers, there's a few people that often share with other people and their opinion counts. And you go, actually, I've got a KOL in amongst my group. So what can I do to reward those KOLs? So, yeah, it's...
It sounds great.
Mm.
It makes me think. I mean, I think there's definitely some listeners that aren't here in China and still are kind of trying to get their head around WeChat. But it's, I guess they can think of it like email marketing in a way, you know, or a smart, like these smarter email marketing tools that bundle with CRM, so it can track who opened it, where they were, you know, tracking their sales. So it kind of integrates all of that inside of WeChat.
Yeah, anyone that's in the past had direct marketing experience, whether that's through email, SMS, you know, years ago, brochures, whatever direct form of communication, this just multiplies the efficacy of that at least 1,000 times.
Great. So we kind of mentioned some mistakes of being slow. Is there some kind of examples or common mistakes that you see maybe brands or businesses making within WeChat or this engagement?
Yes, so part of it is they're slow. The other part is that they don't take a close look at the content that they're publishing each week, and they don't look at what their competitors are publishing and go, actually, my competitors got more views than what I do or more likes than what I do. So what's the content that my competitors are putting out that seems to be appealing? So looking at the competitive framework within the ecosystem, looking at what other clients are doing to engage. You know, if you're not using H5, for example, or some sort of gaming or a simple screen to capture someone's name, phone number, birthday, you know, little things like that where you have another opportunity to market to someone on their birthday. Hey, here's a coupon or a QR code or, you know, some sort of offer that's going to engage with them. So that's one mistake, just not checking what your competitors are doing, the most basic one. The second one is not looking at, you know, when someone comes to your official page, are they going beyond page one? Or are they just getting there like a Google or Baidu page bouncing off because that wasn't what I wanted? So again, that's another basic mistake, just not looking at their official WeChat account. The other one is that the smart official accounts have service staff. So if I've got a problem, I can go to the service staff and ask an immediate question and get an immediate response. Just like in the offline world, if I've got a problem, I want to call somebody and get it resolved quickly. So smart sites on WeChat have that. And this is where SMEs have also learned a very powerful lesson. Because, you know, they don't have the big money like the brands. They have to respond. They have to be quick. So, yeah, content, your site, online customer support, that they're sort of the three key basic ones that a lot of brands fail to address.
Yeah, I mean, basic to us, but a lot of times people are totally missing it. So thanks for sharing that. And you know, we're getting towards the end. I really appreciate your time. I know it's a busy conference. Kind of a standard question, but maybe people coming to China to do business, we'd like to ask, what are some tips you'd give them, books or resources about having successful experience here for their business?
So the first one is, if you're coming here as a foreigner, just remember you've got two ears and one mouth. So try and do twice as much listening as talking. And in your talking, focus just on asking questions until you understand. Because the Chinese won't be afraid to answer a question.
Got it.
And it's through that that you'll understand. That's probably the best advice. Park your brain at home. Like, you know, for me, if I said, oh, this is what we do in Australia, that is so wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're here, and you should be here with the objective of how can I help local Chinese be successful? If that's your objective, then you'll be successful. In terms of books, there's a ton and other things. So my two favorites are Billions by Tom Doctoroff. Tom used to be the head of J. Walter Thompson, an advertising agency group. Super smart, an American, been here for more than 20 years, totally fluent in Chinese, really, really understands the consumer and how you should engage with them. So it's the best Bible I know of for a foreigner on customer engagement and the market and the Chinese psyche. And then the other one has nothing to do with China.
Okay.
It's a book called Why Should Anyone Be Led by You?
Okay.
And it's a very good book on how to be an effective leader. And the principles in the book apply here in China. So just those two. And then the other basic stuff is, depending on what your interest is, there's groups on LinkedIn, there's groups on WeChat, there's blogs, you know, there's a ton of stuff out there. And of course, get out and meet people. But the most important one, two ears and one mouth.
That is totally true. I always, people laugh, I call myself a stupid American. We are a little, I'll talk, you know, we think we know everything, right? I think that's a stereotype of Americans. So yeah, especially us, we have to listen more.
Yeah, because you know, if someone says I'm a China expert, I go, really? Wow, you know, after 10 years, I know less than 1% of what there is to know. So,
great. Yeah. So how can people find you online, business websites, any kind of social sites?
The easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn. Just type in Philip Beck.
Okay, we'll link in the notes too.
See my profile in China. Or just WeChat. No, it's Philip_Beck.
Okay. So. Thanks so much.
And thank you.
Yeah, enjoy the conference.
Okay, same to you.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.